On Wall Street this morning, stock futures have been mixed ahead of this morning's opening bell. Dow futures down just before the open of business on Wall Street. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill, a former representative in the state of Florida, District 1 for the House of Representatives. I'm delighted that he could take a moment to join this broadcast today, and let's do some dialogue and discussion. Congressman Hill, just before the break for our news, I read some headline information. New York Muslim rants, Islam will invade every home because Islam's the only true and correct religion. Further, he states in his rant, and I quote, "And we, speaking of Islam, will not stop until we enter every home. So if you repeat after me, I will hear it in every single district. It should cause you to tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. We should say it across the nation to all of our brothers and sisters." And then he screams in Arabic, quote, "There's no God worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of the last and final prophet, Muhammad," end quote. Now, my question to you, Congressman Hill, this is coming from a prominent Islamic imam. He's making a statement. Will we listen as a people, as a nation, as a constitutional republic with a representative form of government? Do we have any that you believe listening to this? And I go back to the fundamentals, if I can add a little parenthetical footnote. In 1936 through 39, when Mein Kampf was being written, published, and broadcast by Adolf Hitler, the world did not listen. He carried out exactly what he said in his Mein Kampf book. He carried out exactly what he intended to do in the early 40s up through 45, of the incineration, the annihilation, the destruction of about 6 million Jews. So with that being said, should we believe this rant, or is it just a rant?
Well, there's two sides to this, Dr. Youngblood. One, this imam is certainly a lunatic. He should be in a mental institution somewhere. The other side is that here in America, we have freedom of speech, and we have freedom of religion. And so you can say those things, and you can practice the religion you want, But as soon as you start infringing upon the rights of others, as soon as you start trying to force your religion on others, then you've broken the law. And I think at that point, when he is responsible for either violence being committed or the law being broken by trying to force your way of exercising your religion on somebody else, he should be arrested. Mm-hmm. And prosecuted for breaking the law. Until then, he can rant and rave all he wants. We have that freedom here in America. But here's the other thing. He is saying exactly what the Quran dictates to him.
Yes, that's my concern.
He's following the Quran, where they forcibly say you must expand the religion. Unlike Christianity, where you have a choice. The Lord says, I lay before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And let me give you the answer, the Lord says. Choose life. Mm-hmm. Don't choose the other way.
Yes.
And so the Lord gives you, the true God, the only true God, gives you a choice to make. He doesn't try and force himself upon you. And Islam, of course, is a devil religion. They worship the demon god of the crescent moon. They call him Allah. It's a demon god. And that demon god is antithetical to what our loving God says. Where instead of making a choice, we're going to force the choice on you. Again, I think it's the ravings of a lunatic, and he should be watched closely. And it's the first time that the law is broken, he should be arrested.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And just playing the, quote, devil's advocate, who in New York will arrest him? Who in New York is going to listen, pay attention, and monitor what he is saying? Congressman Hill, hold your thoughts for a moment. We have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, Representative Hill. How are you today?
Doing well. I hope you are.
Doing good. I would like to make an amendment to Mr. Hill's opening remark on Vietnam. Yes, the Vietnamese did always, when they got into trouble, go back into the Paris Peace Accords, but it was McNamara and Lyndon Baines Johnson who allowed that to happen because they wanted to wage war on what they called proportional response. You cannot wage war on proportional response. Every successful war that is prosecuted is done through overwhelming superiority on all battle fronts. Hey, that's my statement there. The second statement that I would like to make is, you read that article yesterday about this New York imam. There was four words that he began his statement with. He started with hiding, victim, being discriminated, and being hated. Those things automatically he's projecting onto the listener and those that will listen to him that their religion is the victim. That's how Islam plays today, especially here in America. They portray themselves as the victim, but the whole time they are the wolf that is wearing the sheep's clothing. So don't be deceived. Know right now. Listen to what they say. They're telling you what they're going to do. You just have to get past those opening remarks because you're always going to hear that. CARE is notorious for doing that exact same thing.
That's it. Absolutely. In fact, with the CARE Council on American Islamic Relations, formerly led by the one that is now head of the Human Rights Commission here in Jacksonville, Florida, one that was appointed to monitor religious relations, etc. But he was the head of CARE when in Tampa, Florida, head of the CARE for the state of Florida. And his statement on the website at the time, which has long since been washed, but he was telling Muslims to take a job, get into government, take any position you can, get elected, even if it's dog catcher, so that you can be on the inside to be able to make changes so that it would be for the benefit and the protection of Muslims. It is a sad thought. Congressman Hill and Jim, hold your thoughts for a moment. I want to insert a couple of lines from an article that I believe answers our question. America's Dangerous Future, 20 Million Muslims. That's the headline. November the 16th, 2023. Have you noticed all of the pro-Hamas marches in America since October 7th, 2023? Have you noticed who leads them? Have you noticed their claim of death to all Jews? Have you noticed that they carried the Palestinian flags along with the Islamic black flags? Who leads the marches? Some of the 4 million Muslim immigrants allowed into America by some of the D.C. bureaucrats who never studied the Quran. Their politically based religion is the only religion in America that wants to destroy the United States Constitution. They will install Sharia law and dictate their Quran. Barack Obama, a Muslim, said, "I want to fundamentally change America." What did he mean by that? He meant he wanted to remake America based on Islamic Sharia law. And it goes across the nation, and he points out that we face the potentiality of about 20 million Islamic controllers in America over the next few years as a result of the open borders. So I'll ask both of you, Congressman Hill, respond first, and then Jim, respond to this statement. Is this something we should be afraid of, fearful of? As Christians, as conservatives, I go back to Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The bottom line is that we can't be fearful, but contrary to that, should we be concerned on the basis that we see the reality? And if that is the case, how should we then live? What should be our response, Congressman? Do you believe that we're on the fast track for a major, major, major onslaught of Islamics trying to force Sharia law? And this writer goes into the statement that we see that in the state of Michigan, see that in the New York City and parts of New York State. We see that in Wisconsin, where there are major embeds of the Islamic religious groups that are now forcing their way into the American system.
So, Dr. Youngblood, we absolutely should be concerned. And you stated why these things are happening. It's because of Barack Obama, who yes. said he was going to fundamentally change America. And he is still working on that. The reason why there is such a large, radical Muslim enclave in Madison, Wisconsin, is because during the Obama administration, they imported so many of them there from countries like Somalia and other Middle Eastern nations. They were brought into the United States. And with this open border policy, that's no mistake. This is the Obama administration, his regime, continuing bringing Muslims into this nation, along with others, of course, because the Democrat Party wants to use that as their new voting base, because they were losing their traditional voting base, including the blue-collar workers and African-Americans. They were losing that base, and they felt it. They knew it. They had to bring in a lot more people into the nation who were going to be dependent on the government and vote on them to keep them in office. That's what this is all about.
Absolutely. Jim? Final note, final statement before we let you go. How do you respond to that? Is that correct? How should we view it?
That is correct. I believe that every Christian out here should pray for wisdom and discernment. They should read their Bibles carefully. They should be in a church, in an attendance of a church, where the pastor is delivering the truth. And as individuals there, we should know the history and not shy away from confronting what we know to be the truth. If we allow individuals that have political motivations that are against what our nation stands for and are against what God and Christ are for, we should be very wary of these and not give these individuals the ability to gain footholds or major reforms that will affect us, because it will affect us, and it will affect those that are standing on the sidelines and not doing anything. So everybody needs to be involved, gentlemen.
Amen. Jim, thank you so much for your insight and your words of wisdom. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. I've been watching the situation in Israel closely, and it kind of goes by what Jim was saying, that the liberals, if you have the ability to defend yourself, you're a bad guy. They always pick the victim or somebody who is perceived as a victim, and if you can defend yourself from being annihilated, you're just a bad guy. And I think that that is, it's like Congressman Hill said, you ought to be institutionalized if you believe that. But it's really sad that if you make yourself out like the Viet Cong, I think he was talking about during the Vietnam War, they were perceived as victims, but they weren't. They were the aggressors. But the liberals just really have a fatalistic view of things, that you shouldn't defend yourself. If you ever do get enough power to defend yourself, you become the bad guy. That's just insane, Dr. Youngblood. But that's the way I see it. That's how these young liberals look at things. If you can ward off people is trying to destroy your way of life, you become the bad guy. What is your comment on that?
Well, I can say this, and then I'll ask Congressman Hill to respond. Headline says, disturbing poll on the majority of Muslim Americans. Recent poll conducted found that majority of Muslim Americans believe that Hamas was justified in committing the terrorist attacks against Israel. This now talking about the number of Muslim Americans, those that are American citizens that are Muslim by faith, 57.5%, this article says, 57.5% of Muslim Americans agree that Hamas was justified in its attacking of Israel as part of the struggle for a Palestinian state. Now, Congressman Hill, not necessarily, we don't have to delve into the percentages and the numbers. It's a staggering number. But are we in a struggle for a Palestinian state? Is that what the struggle is about? What is the struggle really about from a central biblicist fundamental view and from a statement that we could look at, humanly speaking, politically speaking? If the Palestinians had an opportunity to have a state, do they have their own place? Do they have their own state, et cetera, et cetera? Is that really the issue? What is the real issue?
No, that's not the real issue, Dr. Youngblood. And we know that because time and time again, Israel has made many gestures of and wanting to settle along with those who are living in the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians, and it's always been rejected. Each gesture of peace made by Israel has been rejected. And so now we have this 57% who are saying that Hamas was justified in committing those heinous acts of terrorism. I want to ask them, what is the justification? What do you mean they're justified in taking innocent women and children, babies, committing horrendous acts, murdering them, raping them, and burning them? What is the justification for that? And you can't tell me it's because they want to exist as a state. That's not correct. And even if that is what they wanted, that's no justification to commit those horrendous acts that you did. There's a better way. There's a humane way of getting your point across other than taking the cowardly way of not fighting the Israeli Defense Forces, but going against civilians who are unarmed, who cannot defend themselves, and committing those heinous acts. if I were to see someone who said to me they were justified in doing that, I would say, you explain to me how that is justified. You explain, and if they can't, it simply shows that they have no moral or religious background, fundamental background, that would justify their position.
None whatsoever. They cannot be justified. In fact, in the Hamas Constitution of 1988, they said their goal, their purpose, their focus is to destroy the state of Israel. That's the bottom line, regardless of how they slice it, regardless of how much lipstick they put on the pig, it's still a pig, as Sarah Palin called it years ago, and that's the bottom line. So as Christians, we need to be aware of that. Tom, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your comments today on the broadcast. By the way, I received a text that Glenn's been trying to call in and hadn't been able to get in. So if he's listening, I believe the lines are probably tied up. So call in. We'd love to talk with you. But, Congressman, there is evidence out there, switching gears for a moment, evidence out there that Pfizer, that is the pharmaceutical, hid over 80% of the COVID vaccination trials that skewed the Pfizer report as to the real condition. This article reads in this fashion. Pfizer hid 80% of the COVID vaccine trial deaths from the regulators. Pfizer delayed reporting vaccine-associated deaths among the BNT 16-2B2 clinical trials with the participants until after the Food and Drug Administration issued an emergency use authorization. The vaccine makers failed to account for a large number of the subjects who dropped out of the trial and deaths among the subjects who received the vaccine, according to the analysis in the International Journal of Vaccine Theory, Practice, and Research. So the bottom line is that we were lied to. Of course, we all know that. We were lied to by Pfizer. We were lied to by big tech in general. We were lied to by Big Pharma. We were lied to by the government under the Biden administration for 3 years. But how should we receive that as citizens, that now we discover that the records actually showed, if I can summarize this, the records actually showed that over half of those that started out in the trials dropped out. Several of them died as a result of the, quote, vaccine in the trials. But none of that was reported by Pfizer, so therefore they got the authorization to pump that into the arms of millions of Americans. Congressman, how should we receive that kind of information? Should it surprise us? Should we have any type of authorization from our states across America to come back and file a class action suit against Pfizer? What's the recourse for we the people?
We absolutely should, Dr. Youngblood. This is criminal behavior. And for justice to prevail, this behavior must be addressed, it must be prosecuted, and the proper punishment should be met out for what has been done. Thousands in the United States, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people were injured and killed by those vaccines. And if you spread it out across the world, it's in the millions. And Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson did not care. Their bottom line was to make money. And here they are, those who were approving it. I'm sure you saw this headline, Dr. Youngblood. A lot of those who were in the CDC and the FDA who were approving these shots, these vaccines, are now working for Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. Here they are, these government bureaucrats. They leave working with, after they approved the vaccines, and now they're working for the companies that were making the vaccines. Criminal behavior, and they should be prosecuted for it. Families have lost loved ones. Loved ones have been injured. And here we have, in our own state of Florida, where legislation was passed protecting the hospitals, protecting the doctors from administering these vaccines, when we should be able to bring not only class action lawsuits, but individual lawsuits against these companies who have perpetrated this mass slaughter of mankind.
A footnote to your statement, you've been there, I haven't. I'm familiar with how the sausage is made, as the cliche goes, when it comes to the bill drafting in the House and the Senate and the lobbyists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Knowing that, how do we get legislation passed that will be for the people and not for some favorite lobbyist or some idealist Speaker of the House or President of the Senate that wants their way? That's what happened with the immunity bill in the state of Florida. I talked with several, as you know, several of our representatives at the time. They said they voted for it because the Speaker of the House wanted it. Speaker of the House wanted it because the governor said we had to have it. And my question to that particular congressman was, well, we elected you to represent we the people, not to represent the Speaker of the House, not to represent the governor, but to represent us. What do we do to have proper legislation that will protect us as citizens? Is it possible, in your opinion, knowing both sides of the aisle, is it possible to have any consensus, to have any legislation like that passed that will give us relief as citizens?
Well, it would be very difficult, Dr. Youngblood, unless we do have a Speaker of the House who will agree to and allow it. And the Speaker can even transcend what the governor wants, if he will be firm. But that's the difficult part right there, Dr. Youngblood. Not only the Speaker, but the individual members who you speak to, they are not principled. Too often, politics will attract people into the political arena, not because they want to serve, not because they want to do what is best for the people of Florida or for their constituents, but for their own political career. That's why they get into politics, so that they can continue to advance from, whether it starts out as city council, county commissioner, state rep, state senator, and then on to Congress, and then who knows from there. But that is their goal. Their goal is to continue their political career. So it is so difficult. And what we have to do is make sure that you select and vote for the right person. You must get that person.
Amen. Congressman, our time's about evaporated, as I would call it. Seems like when we're having a good opportunity to discuss these matters, the clock speeds up. But take a final moment. Celebration of Thanksgiving is upon us. As Christians, conservatives, and patriots, why should we be thankful? What should we be thankful for? And how are you going to celebrate Thanksgiving? We've got about 30 seconds. I know that's a quick time, but wrap us up with that.
Amen. Dr. Youngblood, we should be thankful because we have a God that through his grace Amen. And mercy has extended to us the ability to be saved. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins so that we can be saved. That alone right there is something to be thankful for, despite what we see going on around us. Be thankful for your families. Be thankful for this nation we live in. Be thankful for the bounty that is here. And be thankful that we have a loving God. Bow your knee to him and say, thank you, O Lord.
Amen. Congressman Hill, thank you so much, and we wish for you and your dear family a happy Thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located